Had a really wonderful Bhakta Sangha yesterday. If you hear me talking slowly, it's because I also had Radha Damodar got repainted. Not repainted, but touched up. And now I'm just under other jewelry, their fixed jewelry was taken off, and now I'm just putting it back on again. We had our Bhakta Sangha yesterday. That was really, really great. It was a very nice mood. It's our annual getting together of all the devotees, give a report. I read from Navaraja Mahima. Actually, I didn't read from Navaraja Mahima, excuse me. I was supposed to read from Navaraja Mahima in Hungarian, but I couldn't really quite read. Not good enough to read Nalini Kanta's Hungarian translation in a nice, sort of dramatic way, which it deserved. So we had Ishwara Krishna read it. That was really nice, and we're projecting some pictures from the book also. I think the devotees were very pleased by that. And and it went all day. It was had a really, really good atmosphere. We just need to sort of build up. Our theme is that it's the year of congregation, and it's a little different word in Hungarian. Society is more like it. We're dealing with congregation as the total assembly of devotees, not just those who are living outside of the temple, as we sometimes say, but everybody belongs, is the congregation, devotees congregate. And as I said, the only thing that needs now to happen is to develop and increase the numbers. And that's our focus and concentration. And I think it will happen soon. Good devotees, very much involved, Gurutama Prabhu and Damodar and Dharmishtha, and really think our congregational development is really going to get off the ground in a big way. And right now, we have some questions from Gornitai Das, and he's quoting 8th Canto, where Srila Prabhupada says, "One ordinarily does not begin to practice Bhakti Yoga unless he has practiced it in previous births. Does it mean that by preaching we just find out persons who practice Bhakti Yoga in previous birth, or some of us are entrusted to get persons to start practicing without previous practice? Is that effect or strategy of preaching? In other words, should be select the right people." The general principle is, as Krishna says, now this is me speaking, in Bhagavad Gita, is purva abhyas inatinaiva. Purva abhyas, from previous practice. A yogi, someone takes up yoga because they practiced it previously. But obviously, you have to have started somewhere. And so whether someone had already practiced before or not practiced before, devotion can be awoken because it's in everyone's heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanoi. So So Shravanadi, you need to just call and chant and reawaken that which is already there. So whether someone has practiced before or not, it isn't that they're a stranger to devotional service. Devotional service is their nature, but it requires to be either revived from the point of zero or revived from the point of whatever percent they practiced before, 5%, 10%, and so on. And the mood of the Panchatattva is to indiscriminately give everyone the opportunity to take the Krishna consciousness. How much energy then a preacher puts into individuals may be subject to discrimination, in the sense that you want to put energy into those from who are going to actually take to it and take it more seriously and put into practice what you teach. I think that's a practical psychology. For instance, if you have the choice of investing your money in two banks, one that gives you 1% interest and another one that gives you 20% interest, where are you going to put it? It's just obvious where you invest the money. So where will you invest your time, energy, effort, where you get a little return from the people who you're teaching, or where you get a lot of return? Obviously, where you get a lot of return. And that has to be, that is what one of the aspects, one of the responsibilities of Madhyamadhikari is that he discriminates. Prema Maitriki Propeksha Yat Karoti Shumadhyama. Not only does he discriminate between the envious and the non-envious and the innocent, but even amongst those who are innocent and who are eligible, he may, for purposes of preaching, for his own purposes, I just dropped the deity's ring, hang on a minute, and decide that he's going to spend his time on one person who's more worthy as opposed to those who are less inclined to. Worthy is not the right word. People may be worthy, but they may be less inclined to take advantage and take less seriously the mercy that they get. And, of course, the principle is that devotees have the power of attorney from Krishna to bestow bhakti on others. That's their right. Krishna doesn't inaugurate that himself generally, but rather the dispensation of mercy, but rather he leaves it up to the devotees to do so. So discriminating Vaishnavas should be aware. And he has another question, and that's also from the 8th canto. He says, the 5 mantras mentioned in this connection, this is Prabhupada saying, speaking, are as follows: Purusha, Aghotra, Vamade, etc. These 5 mantras are within the category of the 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva. Do you know more about, here's the question, do you know more about this 5 and 38 Vedic mantras? Why are they special? Where they have important role? No, without doing research, I don't know any more of them. However, there, when Prabhupada says here that they're important in a Vedic age, as is mentioned, they are Vedic mantras. We're not in the Vedic age, neither we are chanting Vedic mantras. The only Vedic mantra we chant is the Brahma Gayatri. We don't have a qualification for chanting Vedic mantras. The mantra that we chant, of course, is the Hare Krishna mantra. So Eka Mantra Devakiputra Namni, one mantra that we should chant is the names of the Lord. And whatever benefits could be gotten by these mantras, all of those can be gotten by chanting Hare Krishna, and of course more, because you can get Krishna Prema by chanting Hare Krishna, and you couldn't get Krishna Prema by chanting these mantras. And there are so many other mantras, rituals, practices that are Vedic. And in that sense, the use of the word Vedic is, and Vedic practices are out of our range. Sometimes devotees get carried away, they're much attracted by esoteric mantras. But it's not possible for us to actually chant these mantras, get benefits from them. There are unlimited mantras according to particular purpose, people of modes of nature, they were recommended. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere says that it's the duty of the spiritual master to select a specific mantra for a disciple. So according to what the guna and karma of a disciple was, what his background, the spiritual master would select some specific mantras for, and now these are mantras for meditation that they would chant for the sake of purification. Of course, there are other mantras for prayers and for other rituals. But none of these mantras work in this age because in Kali Yuga people are too unqualified. They don't have the potency in order to vibrate these mantras in a way that they actually give their prescribed result. So the only mantra that we chant here are the Hare Krishna mantra. And that will give us all the results of all other mantras, if that's what we want. But particularly, it purifies our heart and it takes us to Krishna, which is actually our real purpose for chanting it. Okay, that's it for me from today, and we'll continue tomorrow. And Hare Krishna to everybody.